All right, welcome back. Hour number three on this Monday, as we move into the second week of June already. Just goes incredibly fast. A few headlines here, then we'll get right to Henry in just a moment or two. The World Health Organization is now saying that asymptomatic infected spreaders of coronavirus are very rare. They said actually they're probably very rare. That's their suspicion now. So asymptomatic spreaders, interesting. We used to think that that was a real big factor. They're saying it may not be. Meatpacking plants can't shake coronavirus cases despite Trump's order. The damn virus will not listen to Trump. As expected, and we've been telling you exactly what was going to happen, 22 states now at least are seeing jumps in brand new coronavirus cases. Not a surprise. I, speaking for myself, not Henry, think that this should just, it's going to go through the whole country. It needs to just go. We'll deal with it. We've dealt with worse. World War II, whatever, however you want to look at it. Texas reports record number of hospitalized coronavirus patients after the state reopened early. They're not saying what age group or anything else, but we pretty well can guess at the profile there. What else do we have here? Remdesivir, the antiviral variant for cats. Cats sold for $10,000 on Facebook's black market. New Zealand eradicates coronavirus, at least for now. It's a story out of CBS News. Now I've got a couple videos in there for you to take a look at as well. Interesting. One is Professor Dolores Cahill. I think she's Irish. A lot of credentials, a lot of research. Interesting. One more here somewhere. All right, we should touch on these stats. Coronavirus deaths have surpassed 400,000 worldwide now. Total number of coronavirus cases worldwide tops 7 million now, according to Johns Hopkins. Coronavirus cases grow in Florida, but only 4% of the overall number are positive. That's what the headline says, CNN. What else? Anything else here? Not really. We'll let it go with that. Henry, did you have a fun weekend? What did you do this weekend?
Yeah, I actually went to Philadelphia and back, so I've been on the road a little bit.
Any particular reason, or did you just feel like a drive?
No, family. Seeing my grandson and making him talk at, let's see, 6 months.
You're forcing your six-month-old grandson to talk, are you? Isn't that abusive?
Yeah, we had a conversation, right? I talked and he repeated what I said. So that's good. They weren't real words, but he was working on sounds and he got pretty good at it. I was impressed.
You want to demonstrate some of your goo-goo and gaga, Henry?
No, I'm not going to do it again. I heard saw him on tape. But he liked them, and he said them, so that was
good.
The goal. Well, that was what the goal was.
He's trying to get along. Good.
So I'm back. There's a lot of activity over the weekend. A lot of stories. I got to catch up on one. The one came out in Nature regarding how many cases were saved by putting the locks on. It was prevented, I guess is the proper term. For the U.S., it was 60 million. So, that's the Herald way. So 60 million cases did not happen because of the lockdowns in the U.S. And
another word could be postponed.
It's not clear that they're not going to happen. It's a matter of when they happen and how damaging they're going to be. But there would have already been 60 million more in the spring than there was in the U.S. And I don't know, I think it was a couple hundred million worldwide that was delayed anyway by the various lockdowns. I mean, the U.S. certainly wasn't the only country, and the U.S. certainly wasn't the most effective country. But even with what was done, it was 60 million. And if you didn't believe the theoreticals, which were published today, you can see the actuals by just looking at the states that have taken the restrictions off, or basically said have been eased. And one highlight, if you recall, when Trump went to Honeywell about a month ago in Phoenix, and he said, don't worry about it. It's not a problem. You know, you guys want to leave the restrictions on, you can take them off. It's okay. And they kind of said, well, you know, if you think it's okay, we think it's okay. And they took them off. And on Friday, the Banner Health, which is one of the largest healthcare delivery systems in Phoenix, said, Houston, we got a problem. And the problem is they're out of ICUs in Phoenix. And they're almost out of ICU beds in Tucson. Hmm. And then today, they put out an alert to all the hospitals in Phoenix and said, you have to increase your capacity 50%. And you really should start thinking about not accepting any patients other than COVID cases. Okay. Uh-huh. And now, I didn't look at the weather, but I know that Phoenix gets really hot almost all the time.
Right.
You know, in the summer, they get up above 100. Right. Yeah. So I don't know what the weather is, you know, this week, but I don't think it's, you know, in the 30s and 40s and cool like it is in the fall when the virus takes off. And the virus is clearly taking off in Arizona. And the virus is also taking off in California. California today posted how many new cases today in California?
5,000.
No, not that bad. 3,000. But 3,000 a day is a lot. And
yes, it is.
Florida, you know, these are... These aren't, you know, your winter-like states. Florida's got 1,500, or no, about 1,000. North Carolina's got about 1,500. Texas has got about 1,000. These are new cases per day. And Utah's got an issue, and it's June. April didn't disappear. May didn't disappear. June going up in the south. And that's an indication that you ain't seen nothing yet. And these are areas that weren't hit that hard initially. In the northeast, New York just lifted restrictions today, and so they're easing up. Pennsylvania has done that, and it's here in Pittsburgh in Allegheny County. They switched to green on Friday, so things are kind of starting to open up here. And
by the way, the Phoenix, Arizona weather, 95 tomorrow, and then over 100. For the entire rest of the month, up as high as 112 for the whole rest of the month. So that's hot. Yeah.
Right. That's hot, and that's exactly what the virus is. It is hot. They are issuing alerts, red alerts, and not for the temperatures, not for heat stroke. It's for the virus striking big time. So that kind of gives you an idea. And some of the numbers you just mentioned, just to put it in perspective, that, you know, the world has got more than 7 million cases. And if you recall, SARS, which, you know, some of your listeners want to know why SARS went away, why isn't COVID going to go away just like SARS? And apart from the fact that one's a pandemic, the other's an epidemic, SARS got a little over 7,000 cases. And SARS-CoV-2 has over 7 million cases. So that's three orders of magnitude. So there's 1,000 times more cases than there was with SARS, except the cases for SARS-CoV-2 are the ones that have happened so far, and they're the ones that were just getting started in the beginning of the flu season, the fall, and didn't really get going until largely April, so they kind of missed most of the winter season. You know, they missed the fall, which is coming up. And like I said, I think the winter of 2020 will be like a walk in the park compared to the fall in 2020, when the virus will have adapted and it's already around the world. And there's other hotspots other than the U.S. I mean, there's 215 countries that have the virus, but the ones right at the top, you know, have a lot in common. Number one, of course, is the U.S. The Worldometer actually has the U.S. breaking the 2 million mark. Some of the other ones have, like, 1,900,000 and some odd thousand. They'll have the U.S. breaking 2 million, the next day or two. But Worldometer says it already happened today.
Every time you say that, I hear Worldometer.
Yeah. Okay. Worldometer. Okay. Anyway.
Like speedometer. Speedometer.
Yeah, I got you. Worldometer. Okay. Just to go through the top ones where they're listing, the U.S. is over 2 million. Number two is now Brazil, 710,000 and 37,000 deaths. Brazil is number three in the world in that category. U.S. is, of course, way out of front with 113,000. UK is number two with 40,000, and Brazil is getting ready to pass the UK with 37,000. So they're just 3,000 behind, and they'll be in front of the UK probably by tomorrow. But guess what? You might not know it. Number one, they're already in front of the UK because they're really not testing. Their testing rate is 4,000 per 1 million, and the UK testing rate is 84,000 per million. So, they're really kind of apples and oranges. The UK is testing much, much more, and they've got 40,000. But even 37,000 for Brazil is a bit too high for their two-bit dictator. And so with 37,000 deaths and 710,000 cases, he can't really control it by not testing. So what else can you do? You can just stop reporting. So he has proposed stop reporting the deaths and the cases, which is a violation of his UN membership. But
I would say there's some international issues there about not reporting.
But that is what his plan is. He's whoever's head. I guess he's on his third guy already. This guy has no medical background at all, so that's who he's got in charge. I mean, all this sounds very, very, very familiar. So he's kind of taking his cues from Donald J. Trump. I mean, the guy he has in charge of Health and Human Services doesn't have a health background either. So, yeah, need to get more businessmen in there to kind of take care of the medical needs of the country and who can get the most cases, I guess. And so Brazil is number two. They're kind of going to go dark pretty soon, so it's going to be harder to keep tabs as to whether they catch the U.S. or not, but they've got a good run at it. They're a good example of, he called it the little flu. And he said, nothing to worry about. Now with 37,000 deaths, he said, I don't like those numbers. Let's just stop doing that stuff. We'll just ignore the virus and, maybe it'll go away. Just like Trump said, it would go away in the U.S., maybe it'll go away in Brazil. And then that's what the U.K. tried. They thought, let's just ignore it. Just let it do its thing. We got to get some herd immunity and just let her rip. And then Boris Johnson got infected, along with a lot of members of parliament, and the virus was clearly out of control. So they kind of put the brakes on, but of course they were a little bit late, and that's why they're number two in the world on deaths. And Brazil's going to come and rescue them and move them down to number three because they're going to go by past them because they haven't bothered with any brakes. And then rounding out the top four, there's Russia with Putin. And he figures, he's going to control it by just lying about the deaths. So they got 400,000 cases, but they only got 6,000 deaths. Now, they got the same Italian version that Brazil has and is now dominating the U.S., is now dominating the U.K.
How are they holding numbers down?
They just call them whatever they want. They call them heart attacks. They call them renal failure. They call them liver disease. They call them, I don't know. They're dead. They don't call them COVID. They even take ones that are COVID positive and say, this isn't a COVID death. The U.S. does that a little bit, too. I mean, some of these states, Kansas seems to do that. They kind of zero in, and they got two categories. They got one category that are COVID-related deaths, as in the patient's positive for COVID, and then they say real COVID deaths. I don't know exactly what the terminology they use, but they lower the number. They report both of them, but they do report a lower death number for actual COVID deaths, which is, just saying, just because they had something that looked like a heart attack, and it's known that the virus attacks the heart, and there's an increase of patients that have heart attacks when they're infected with the virus, or at least it looks like a heart attack. They say it's nothing to do with the virus, which is just nonsense, because that's part of the reason I sent those excess deaths. The excess deaths are just based upon a death certificate. They're not based upon any document, diagnosis made by any doctor. That's just all the doctor's saying is that person's dead. And so they fill out a death report, death certificate, and they count up the death certificates. And, I said science is all about time and space. And that's all they got to do. They just need to know when they died and where they died, and they put them together, and then you put those on a graph, and you see this big explosion in cases. And the explosion in cases happen right when the COVID cases are going up. and they are related. And they're hard to hide because most countries do keep tabs of people that die. And they do death certificates, and they do put a date and a location mm-hmm. on them. And that's really all you need to see the effect of COVID. I mean, it's kind of like the forest fires from space. They're big enough that they're kind of hard to deny. And that's what happens with COVID, even when you're on the Herald wave in the...
You mean the Henry wave?
Spring, whatever you want to call it. It's not the real deal yet. The real deal is coming in the fall. So, in any event, what you've got is the top four countries all have something in common. They're the U.S., Brazil, Russia, and the U.K. And that is the leader of the country is basically incompetent and knows nothing about science and thinks mm-hmm. that they can talk this virus down by just saying it doesn't exist or put out some of the nonsense that because it attacked the heart, they must have had a heart attack, which technically a virus attacking the heart could be called a heart attack, but uh-huh. they basically want to say it's something unrelated to the virus, or and that's how Russia has 6,000 deaths out of 400,000 cases, and Brazil has 37,000 deaths out of 700,000 cases, and Brazil's undercounting because they're not testing. So Brazil mm-hmm. tries not testing. They can't really hide the virus that well, so they're going to stop reporting. And Russia just makes up these stories about cause of death being something other than COVID, even though they test positive for COVID, and even though all these deaths are happening right. when they have an explosion in COVID cases. So the bottom line of all this is that the idea that the virus is just going to disappear over the summer, or that the virus doesn't do all that well in the heat, or that this is something like SARS or MERS, which are epidemics, and this was kind of called a pandemic, but let's just pretend it's an epidemic and it'll go away, really isn't going to work. And the numbers in the U.S., they're going up in June, and they're going up in 20-some-odd states. And these states really haven't fully, lifted all of the lockdown issues. You know, they're easing them, but they're still some in place. And it hasn't been long enough for them to be off to see the full effects. For the ones that have more taken off, the numbers are going to continue to go up over the summer.
Right.
And my guess is if they, start to plan on having school in the fall and start to open things up, accelerate.
We know what's going to happen. They should all know it too. It's already happening with some of the apparent pro sports franchises. They're starting to train and they're getting cases. We know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And so, the idea that in the fall, the school's going to be off and running, and they're not going to have to do this distance type of, online stuff, and they can do them in person, is just a fantasy. That just is not going to happen. And it might happen for a month or so, but I'm not even sure that it'll happen that long, because I think there'll be enough clues over the summer when these numbers start going up as people get out and about. Yeah, the numbers start going up, like you say, when these various initial efforts are made with various sports, and they'll see that the virus is there, and if they're contact sports, you know, it's going to spread.
Well, name one sport that isn't a contact sport.
From matches, yeah, and they travel together, and they stay together, it's not only going to affect the players, but all of the associated people that basically put the events on and come into contact with the players and with each other. And so it's going to be a very difficult situation. And that's why some of the stuff that's out there is probably worth reviewing. I mean, there's kind of like a parallel universe out there, especially on the internet, but even in news circles. The alternate universe is, you know, just not based on fact. It's kind of just these rumors and just speculation and kind of
it's
like,
nothing new there, Henry. It's always been that way. More so now than ever, but that's the way of the beast.
Well, they're even the same playmakers. You had mentioned something about Bill Gates. I don't even know what the story is about Bill Gates, but it's just nonsense. I mean, just to give a little bit of background on the reality side, the reality side is medical research is very expensive, and basic research gets you a lot of basic facts, but it's not something that's, you know, commercialized in and of itself. It gives you the idea. And in the United States and actually around the world, most of the basic research is supported by government money. So scientists go and compete for grants and contracts occasionally, and they some of them actually get funding from the government, and they do basic research. And the government knows that it costs a lot of money to take a product to market. And so basic research is kind of just the first step. Then it has to be developed, and
a lot of these have to go through
clinical trials. And companies will frequently do that part of it. But the government's really not set up to do that. So the rules are that you compete for the grant money, and if you get the grant, you do the research. And your obligation to the government for giving you the money is to make the results public. So you basically publish in scientific journals. And when you in the rules for publishing in the scientific journals is that you have to put in enough details in the papers so that somebody skilled in the art can reproduce your results independently. So they can read the paper, they can see what you did, and they can go ahead and follow those instructions, kind of like a cookbook, and they should be able to get the exact same results that you publish. And so that's kind of the control over what you publish. If you publish and nobody can reproduce it, eventually it comes out that wasn't reproducible, and you don't get a whole lot of credit for publishing something that nobody else can reproduce. So it has to be reproducible, and if nobody tries to reproduce it, it probably wasn't worth publishing because nobody really cared. So there's kind of an internal control that way on the science. And then when you get then research institutions that basically support the scientists mainly by giving them a place to do the research, usually they have to get their own money. But the research institute, all of them worldwide, have some variation on a technology transfer department. And so that their role is to take that technology, the basic research, and to protect it. And they protect it with patents. And so scientists write up patents. They have, the research institutes have patent attorneys. They go ahead and take the raw data. They usually have it set up. So before they publish it, they patent it because that's what they have to do to retain the rights. And the patents are a lot like the scientific publication. The patents basically give away all the secrets. Mm-hmm. You have to put in the patent all the information so someone skilled in the art can reproduce your invention. And that is to protect commercial rights. So essentially, if you come up with an invention and you file a patent and the patent's issued, and then somebody else wants to take your invention and make money with it by creating a product that they're going to sell, since you patented it, they have to license it from you. They have to license the right to use your patented invention to make a commercial product. And so the patents are public, and anybody can see that. And once the patent is in a patent or it's been published in a paper, then it's in the public domain. It's no longer patentable. Something that's patentable has to be new. So if it's written up and patented, it's no longer new and no longer you can't go and make a patent on something that's already been patented. So that's how the patents work. And every country does that. And the conspiracy theorists go to the patents and they do like the health ranger that basically, you know, they go and they read about a cell line, and they think that you have to kill hundreds of thousands of monkeys to get a green, African green monkey cell line. The cell line was made back in the 50s or 60s. It's used over and over again as the almost most labs in the world. And they envision that, it shows that they not only know what a cell line don't know what a cell line is, but they don't have any concept like, why would you take a virus that you can grow in chicken eggs and come up with a with an improvement by putting it in primates that you then, according to their interpretation, have to slaughter on a massive scale that would make the product incredibly expensive? And vaccines are actually quite cheap, you know, the flu vaccine. Yeah, it might cost $20-$30. Wholesale, it costs a few bucks, you know, per dose. And you're not going to take something you sell for a dollar a dose and grow it in primates that you have to slaughter in hundreds of thousands or millions. I don't know what they envision. So the guy that wrote that article not only didn't know what a cell line is, he has no concept of why a company would or a scientist would do that. You know, why would you take something that's relatively cheap, like a chicken egg, and replace it with a monkey to make the virus for a vaccine?
And, well, it was an unfortunate lapse of knowledge.
No,
actually, it can't be a lapse because he never had the knowledge.
It was an insight into who's writing these wacko articles. And he didn't just write this in 2009. I Googled it just to take a look. And he's been defending this for the past 10 years. He's got multiple ones saying, I was right. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what they called him out on. They probably called him out on, are you nuts? Who's going to have a million monkeys to make a vaccine? You know, but he's repeatedly defending it. But that is just insight. That is one example. I mean, another one, another good example real popular, and kind of, you know, I had a little bit of insight, was Don Wiley. Don Wiley worked on influenza and Ebola, and actually I collaborated with Ian Wilson, who was a postdoc in Don Wiley's lab before he came to Scripps, and we collaborated on influenza. And Don Wiley went to a meeting in Memphis, I think, and had an unfortunate accident. Exactly what happened, it wasn't clear, but I mean, he ended up falling off a bridge that was on a road that was under construction, and his car was found running on the bridge, and he was missing for several weeks, and there was all kind of speculation then, and I think probably still now, that, you know, this was part of the scientists disappearing. That, you know, all of these scientists were dying in plane crashes, and this was all some terrorist organization out there that was targeting U.S. scientists, and Don Wiley was, you know, another victim. He didn't die in a plane crash, but...
You don't remember? I had Don Wiley's... Patty Doyle and I had Don Wiley's sister on here about five days after he was had gone missing. And she said there's absolutely no reason he would stop his car and jump or fall off a bridge. So she was perplexed. Yeah. I'll leave it at that. It was a sad loss. He was very competent.
Loss, but he was very competent. He went to a meeting. I go to these meetings all the time, too.
And just don't stop your car on a bridge, Henry. Just don't.
I mean, come on. You still are holding on to this that somebody threw him
over the
bridge?
I didn't say anything except what his sister said, and that I had him as a guest.
There was construction there, and I don't know why he stopped the car and got out of the car, but I can tell you
I didn't
you that.
Say conspiracy. I didn't say anything. I just reported a fact.
I'm just giving you some background. Scientific meeting. Yeah. Scientists go to a lot of meetings. He went to a meeting.
Remember those scientists? Wait. Now, I remember this because there were a number of them. Yes, there were a number of them. You're right. And one of them, remember the one guy who died in the, he died in an airlock somewhere. Where the hell was that? He was trying to get in and out of a highly clean room or something. They found him dead in an airlock. It was weird. One of those things. Strange. There were a lot of things like that back then. I remember this.
The thing you need to remember.
You were the only one who escaped, you know. You were the only one who escaped.
There was a long list. And the long list, you know, anybody could put that list together. All they had to do is Google scientist and airline
obituaries.
And they went through and they took, and if you looked at who the scientists were on the list, you knew that it was total nonsense about this being some type of terrorist attack that was attacking U.S. scientists. Because they had technicians on there. I mean, there's a lot of technicians in the U.S. They had one guy who got hacked to death by his daughter's boyfriend.
That was the most suspicious one of all. I suspect George W. Bush was involved with that one.
Yeah, they were absurd. I mean,
All right, okay. Let's get on to some important stuff here.
It was just an example. Well, no, most of these conspiracy theories operate the same way. They basically use Google. In this case, they use Google to put a list together. And so here's the scientists. And, you know, they go to a lot of meetings. They go on the airplane. So this plane must have been down by some terrorists because they were after this technician that happened to be riding on a plane.
E.T. knocked it down, Henry. E.T. It was an E.T. conspiracy.
Yeah.
You got to remember these things.
But that's how all of these conspiracies go. They basically Google something Google will find things that are one in a million because you're looking at a billion different combinations. They found something that's a one to million dot, and then they come up with a reason that, well, this couldn't have happened by chance. There had to be something to this. And so the point is that there's a lot of this information out there. And they've created a parallel universe over the years. You know, this isn't a new phenomenon. This has been going on for decades. That they go, you know, there's all kind of conspiracies about vaccines and H5N1, and they got secret bioweapons because they found one in a patent somewhere and they predicted they were going to do XYZ. I think that's what Gates is supposed to be accused of. He predicted pandemic 2 or 3 years ago, which was not that hard of a prediction to make. But somehow, since he said it was coming, he must have been planning it. and wave one and wave two or something, I don't know. But anybody that knows anything about pandemics knows that there are more than one wave. And he was basically giving circumstances that would be likely present for a pandemic, that the virus wouldn't kill the host, that the host would be able to walk around and be infectious. And the longer they could walk around and be infectious, the more easily the virus could transmit, and the more easily it would transmit, the more likely it would be that it became a pandemic. And that is pretty much what happened with this virus. So even if people that stay asymptomatic don't have as high a viral load as those that are walking around when they're pre-symptomatic, these people that are pre-symptomatic and have lots of virus but haven't developed symptoms yet are capable of infecting a lot of people and allow the virus to spread fairly efficiently. And the bottom line is that whichever method, whichever mode you want for the transmission of SARS-CoV-2, whether it's from an asymptomatic person or if it's somebody that's pre-symptomatic, so that they've got virus before they develop the symptoms, the virus does transmit fairly easily. And because of its easy transmission, it has infected 7 million confirmed cases. You know, if there's that many confirmed cases, there's a lot more of actual cases.
And, but Bolsonaro is still testing negative. So is Trump. So is Pence. Funniest thing how they never get it, isn't it?
It's not at 100%. And you know, Trump, it's well known that the assay he's using that he wanted everybody to use is an insensitive assay.
And, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, that came out.
It gets tested every day, remember? Every day.
Right. If it's insensitive, it'll always get a lower number, negative. Right. So, in any event, the numbers are going up, and it is a serious problem. And, you know, in some countries like Brazil, you're going to have an idea on how bad it can get. Or you'll have an idea. I don't know if you'll have the actual numbers, because I wouldn't be surprised if they do stop reporting, because they have gone up so quickly. And if they've got 700,000 and they're only testing 4,000 per 1 million in the population, you know, that's a tenth or a twentieth of what they should be testing. So they probably have quite a few deaths that you know, they're not reporting, and they have more than quite a few cases they're not reporting. They're already up to 700,000. So, you know, they probably are well over a million cases already. And it started late. I mean, I remember the first case in Brazil, which was in February, and it was you know, right around the time the virus started to spread from northern Italy, and it was starting to show up in all these countries for the first case in like Algeria and Nigeria and Brazil. These were continents that really had very little activity, and then all of a sudden they were all showing up at the same time. And so I'll have to take a look at that Nature story and get a little bit more details on exactly how they did the calculations. But I think it was 60 million people in the U.S. And I don't know, probably approaching hundreds of millions worldwide basically didn't happen because of the lockdown. And in the U.S., like I say, you're going to be able to tell real time because these 20 states that are going up are likely to continue going up. I mean, we're already, you know, in the months it's going to have the longest day of the Northern Hemisphere, and so it's going to start getting less sunlight towards the end of this month. And
that's right.
And so there are these, you know, these places where if it's at all seasonal, you're going to have Brazil. Brazil's in the southern hemisphere, at least part of Brazil is. And so it's going to be getting on the cooler side. And then it's going to be the same thing in Australia and the southern part of Africa. And so they might give a little bit of a heads up of what the fall is going to end up looking like in the northern hemisphere. But the numbers are going to explode. And, I forgot to mention the latest news, and I have to look this up. I just heard this. Somebody called me while I was driving home. And but apparently Trump is planning on starting having going around the country again for rallies.
Yeah, in 2 weeks.
Right. So Trump rallies.
Get your ticket now, Henry. Get your ticket.
Well, I expect that they'll be handing out Kool-Aid and pills and UV lamps at the door, you know, at the gate, and don't worry about it. And you know, Trump can give demos as to what you're supposed to do with the.
It's going
UV
to be,
light.
If nothing else, Henry, it's going to be interesting to watch. We'll see.
If not humorous
to watch.
Ridiculous. Yeah. It's gonna be ridiculous. I mean, we'll see. I mean, he hasn't announced any venues yet, right? He just said he's gonna do it in a couple of weeks.
No,
I haven't read that yet.
Yeah, no, not that I saw.
But
it's definitely back on the schedule, for sure.
Yeah,
they're doing it.
Yeah. Well,
he's trailing Biden by, 12 points now? He's got to do something.
Well,
that's the way he looks at it.
I mean, I think he's underwater now with college-educated white males. And there's not that much of the population out there that's available. I mean, he's losing one segment after the other. And He's not going to win them back with rallies that are going to lead to explosions of COVID cases. And I agree, he's kind of desperate, but he is trying very, very hard to cement his standing as the worst president in the United States history. He already kind of got there on his first year, and they said, well, maybe he'll get better, but he's pretty much going to nail
it
here.
it got better, but not in the way he would like to see it get better.
Right, yeah. Right. It's got to be kind of unanimous, you know, as far as where his position is. But anyway, it'll be interesting on that on the venue part. And he does stay in the news, but I don't know.
Kind of goes with the territory.
A whole lot in November. Yeah.
So make a lot of money off Trump. Thank you, Henry. We'll talk to you tomorrow night. Let's see what happens. I'll see if I can find some specific dates for his rallies, and see if we can get you in there.
Get those. See how much Kool-Aid's come along with it, whether they get that out
right.
of the door. You're supposed to
one
have to
packet,
bring a pitcher or what?
They're going to call them Patriot Packets of Kool-Aid.
All okay, right. Sounds good.
Thanks.
Okay, let me talk to you tomorrow. Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Okay, there we go. And we will be right back with you in 21 hours tomorrow night. Thanks for being here. There's a lot happening. Talk soon. Be well.